We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted. Today is February 21st. And last night, Michigan State suffered a bit of a tough loss at home. Iowa took down the Spartans 78-71. Spartans fell to 7-10 overall, 9-7 in conference play. Lose a lot of that momentum that they had garnered in those picking up those two road wins against Penn State and Michigan. Johnny, I know you just rewatched the game. We were talking a little bit before this, so I want to start with you and see really what you have to say, especially after rewatching the game and some stuff that you have. So what do you got?
I think the real question is, where do you start? I think overall, and I think we've seen some quotes about it coming after the game, just the effort level was just horrendous. And I think that goes from top to bottom. And when I see a quote in the media from, I don't know how, where it came from, but how Davis Smith is the one, again, in the locker room trying to get these guys to play hard. Like, I'm not sure how that's even possible. One of the guys who gets 0 minutes is the one that has to be the one trying to get something out of your senior point guard, I think that's just where this all starts. The guys didn't show up. Izzo talked about that. I think that's kind of a lame excuse in a way. How do you not show up for a game, at home, 3-game win streak? He said they were retired. That's another lame excuse, in my opinion. But and I'll let you go, and I could go on and on, but I'll go back over to you for a little.
Yeah, I there's a lot obviously from this game, and you touched on some of the big stuff, especially with Davis Smith. I think that's just so backward. Like, you've got three guards that start, two being seniors, one a junior, and then another starter and a center who's a senior who we'll get to, I'm sure. And yeah, like you said, you have to get hyped up by a guy who doesn't play almost at all. And that's nothing, that's no disrespect to Davis Smith. I commend him, if anything, for trying to be a leader and trying to get the guys going. But yeah, I think a couple things that stood out to me were Michigan State shot the same percentage from the three-point line as they did the free throw line. What are we doing? 7 of 14 from the free throw line? I thought this was a November issue. I thought we left the free throw shooting, the poor free throw shooting in November. That's just can't happen. You can't win in Big Ten games. You can't win at this point of the season against good teams. And Iowa, obviously, they're playing some good basketball right now, coming off an overtime win against Wisconsin. And then they come into the Breslin wins. They're trying to play their way right onto the bubble. So credit to Iowa in that sense. But yeah, and then a lot of missed free throws. It felt like Michigan State was, or not free throws, I said that, missed layups and other easy opportunities on the offensive end. They were missing a lot of really open, really good open looks that, if a couple more fall, if a couple more free throws fall, it's a completely different game in the last few minutes. And we definitely see something, we could definitely have seen something else play out. I thought Iowa's zone defense gave Michigan State a lot of trouble, which is a bit odd. I don't know if they were running as a different zone than what MSU has seen this year, because, before last night, it felt like every time a team would switch to zone against the Spartans, they would start dicing it up, get Malik right in the middle of that zone, and Malik Hall would just make it happen. And teams would abandon the zone right away. But Iowa's zone was actually giving some Michigan State some troubles. Yeah, I think we should probably talk about the big men though. Again, like it's almost like the big topic that we have every episode, but it's like I don't I if I
Yeah.
read one more quote about Xavier Booker is so good in practice and he's going to start playing so much more, I promise. He played 6 minutes last night. Like, I mean, I guess he played one more minute than Sissoko, so that's a win. But it, like Booker played in the first half and I thought he had a good stretch there, offensively, defensively. He had a block, he had two boards, and one for one from the field in 6 minutes. So again, I just would like to see that and be able to have Booker out there spreading the floor. Yeah, and I mean I'll start this with the centers and then go to you. They just got, I mean, as a team, Michigan State just got bullied last night. I thought Iowa was dominant inside. And that's both a credit to their big guys and a bit of a negative, I don't know what word I'm looking for. Something bad for Michigan State, but yeah, I'll go back over to you. What did you talk or what? I guess how did you see the centers, and when you rewatched it, did you change anything? Like, did any of your thoughts change on how the centers played, and which guy stood out to you?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
I mean, I think rewatching it almost cemented what I thought after last night. And I've been pretty okay with what Booker's gotten so far this year. I've been, he's talented, but I think it's been a development. But after watching last night and after watching, I think, the Penn State game, I've got no more time for this. He should not. The fact that he's on that bench that entire second half is inexcusable. It's inexcusable. And, I watched back, again, the first half, and then I heard Izzo's quote. They don't add up. He's talking about how they played bully ball. They did throughout that game, and they dominated Kohler. Not actually not I'm not gonna say that. Kohler actually held his own for most, right? They dominated Cooper, and Krejci definitely got the best of Hall. But in those, I think as you said, 6 minutes, Booker didn't held his own in the post. The two times they went to him against the post, they did not score. And he says something about guarding a guard, and yeah, it's a little bit more difficult for him. They scored once. He was on a wing pick and roll, gets screened, didn't see it coming. Guy gets the rim. I just didn't think his the excuse it did not make sense. And he played hard. He grabbed cool boards. He actually looked pretty fluent in the middle of the zone a couple times. I just him not playing, it's just that can't happen in that second half. And for him to say the things he said, I just don't think they add up.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's been all year, and it's just been getting worse and worse as the year goes on, because And I just feel like I'm playing a broken record. Booker is not playing, and not only is he not playing, but Cooper and Sissoko aren't providing good minutes. They aren't like, I mean, Izzo, I think, finally realized that Sissoko was all borderline unplayable, just straight up unplayable. And he played 5 minutes last night, but he still started. Like, I don't know if that's a pride thing for Izzo in terms of like he doesn't want to make Sissoko feel bad and put him on the bench but and not start him, but there's no reason for Sissoko to start. I like even though if he plays 5 minutes, I know it might just be more ceremonial for the fact that you have a senior starting and he only plays 5 minutes, but at that point, I don't really see the point at all. And yeah, I was gonna talk about Kohler for a little bit. Like you said, I thought he held his own. He had three blocks last night. So I thought Kohler was without question the best defensive center, which is not what we're used to seeing out of him. And for the first time this season, Kohler led the big men in minutes. He played 19 minutes, which was good to see. As someone who's just I like Kohler. I think he should get more minutes. Excuse me. But yeah, just a very, very frustrating game for Michigan State fans. You were in the building, right? I was
I
also
was.
there, and I thought the atmosphere was on par with most Breslin games. It didn't feel like the fans were out of it. It really just kind of felt like the players were, and it goes back to that Davis Smith quote. And I on Twitter this morning, I've been seeing a bunch of memes of people like clowning essentially Hogard and Walker for dancing and messing around pregame and not really looking like they were focused. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention super much, like super hard in warmups, but every time I looked over from the Iowa side to the state side, sure enough, it was Walker and Hogard were dancing, vibing to the music. I'm cool with that. I have no problem with that. But when you do that and then you don't show up as a senior at home late in the season, it's just a really bad look.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I remember one time looking at the bench during the game. I just remember this little, and I remember seeing Davis Smith, funny enough, and he just had this look of just like, I remember him looking back in his hands and just like the only guy was like, who knows what's going on, the emotion from him. And you just don't see that from your guards. Definitely in that first half. You know, I saw a clip on Twitter of Hogard. Then of course, when I watched back, I saw it again. And it was a moment where, you know, a guy got to the rim, missed, and he's standing out on the perimeter, the weak wing perimeter, guarding Perkins, and he just stands there. Perkins crashes the glass, gets a hand to it, someone else grabs it, puts it in. He didn't move for like 5 seconds. And I think that kind of just summed up that first half for him. And then, of course, the second half, oh, you see him come out, gets, I thought he finished with 11 points or something like that. 15, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored in that second half, but how can't you show up for 20 minutes?
Yeah,
And
and
then I,
it's sorry, keep going. You finish,
no, yeah,
finish.
no, I was just gonna say, I kept saying towards the end of the game was the two words, no heart. And it sucks. I don't want to say that. But that's what it looked like, and it goes back to the low effort.
Yeah, and what I was gonna say, and I agree 100% with everything you just said. And I don't want to. I'm gonna make a little bit of an assumption here that he knows this too, but I want to preface this with that. At least for the last 3 years, when he's been a starter, the one knock that I see all the time on Twitter and read about all the time, in articles and hear about all the time from people is when Hogard tries, he's really good, but he doesn't always have the effort. And it's like, dude, you're in year four now. Like, you cannot have an effort question. Being the starting point guard for Michigan State as a senior. That's just not like they just Michigan State's used to better than that. They're used to not have like this is the first kind of set of guys and like recruiting class of guys, like older group of guys, I guess like, it's the word I'm looking for that really don't seem like they care that much to hold on to that tradition and legacy that Izzo built for 20 years. And it's just frustrating. And obviously, there's not really much you can do. And at this point of the season, it's just kind of like, well, what happens, happens. Like, if Izzo can't, or if these guys haven't bought in already, Izzo's not going to be able to get them to buy in at this point in the season. And if I'm being honest, I also fully believe that they'll be fully bought in March and they'll probably look like a completely different team than they did last night. But when you struggle to find consistent effort, it's infuriating for fans. Especially when you start the season as the number four team in the AP poll and you have everyone coming back, and then the biggest question throughout most of the year is rotations and effort. I mean, that's inexcusable. You can't have that. It's not shot making. It's not like early in the year there, they were awful from 3-point, but now the team's in the mid-30s for percentage-wise from shooting from behind the line. And yeah, it's rotations, it's Izzo won't make any changes, it's effort, and it's shocking, honestly. Like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's not something I've never seen in the 21 years I've been watching Michigan State basketball.
Yeah, and you said it, and I can't, everyone talks about the tradition here, and it's coming from an outside, I guess, source or whatever. Being here 4 years, I don't have that, but knowing the traditions, and it's just, you don't see it. And, talking about Hogard there, I kind of said it in the last episode. He didn't show up those last two road games. It was fine. We won. I mean, it's not fine, but I look back at that Illinois game, and his effort level was just. He was probably the. I thought he was the best player on the court, and it was on both sides of the ball. And that's where you don't see that on those nights. I think it reflects more defensively at times. And like that one moment I just brought up, where here didn't even occur to him the box out. Didn't even occur to him. Perkins got by him. Like he literally, if he runs by you, all right, catch up. Go try and get him. He stood there for 5 seconds. They got two offensive rebounds and put it in. And he just like, all right, give me the ball. And that kind of summed that up. And we could go on and on about so many things last night. But the one thing I kept writing down after rewatching it, and we've talked about it, was the centers. But it doesn't even, after rewatching it again, it's not just with the centers. And I think it goes back to effort, is how many times they can't grab a basketball. And we've talked about Cooper, Sissoko, bad hands. I've noticed it from Malik last night. I noticed it from the guards.
I
It's just
know.
rebounding, and it's so many second chance opportunities and the loose balls that they just don't get. And I don't know if it mind boggles me.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, because I know I remember Akins last night had a couple balls go through his hands, and I know one, at least one, and it only might have been one, but this one that I'm thinking of was a bit of a bad pass. He had to go out right above the Iowa bench, but I think it kind of just goes back to the focus piece. Like, if you're not fully focused, you're not looking that ball right into your hands. I mean, that's just simple stuff. Like, that's, yeah, I'm almost at a loss of words. I thought Trey Holloman was played well off the bench. I want to say that. Trey had 9 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 2 for 3 from behind the arc. Still shooting above 40% from 3-pointer on the season is Holloman. So definitely a positive, I would say, for Michigan State was Trey Holloman last night, but that's probably about the only one.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think with Trey, which he gives the effort. He gives, maybe he doesn't show it as much. And I think at this point, he still has a long way to go as a guard, right? If we look at potential, or what could they give us right now? Hogard can give us way more offensively, attacking and dishing. But I think when you just watch Trey, it's just his all around demeanor, just his ability to really help everybody. I don't know. It's just hard to describe, but when he's on the floor last night, it looks like a positive where you can't really say that around him at times.
Yeah, I thought I don't really have much else. I feel like I'm just a broken record at this point almost. And I mean, Ohio State just coming off a big win against Purdue. I know they're a little bit further off the bubble than Iowa, but they're not gonna they're you know, Chris Holtmann just got fired. They're all playing for whether a lot of those guys end up staying there or transferring, they're playing for tape. And they're going to be coming in looking to make it 2 straight losses for Michigan State. So the Spartans are really going to have to pull together and be prepared for Saturday, because Ohio State is no tough match. There's no easy matchup. They took down the Spartans last year in the Big Ten tournament. Bruce Thornton, I'm a big fan of him. I always have been. I mean, Jameson Battle, the transfer from Minnesota. They've got some players over there. They really do. And it's gonna take some stuff between now and Saturday for the Spartans to be ready. And I feel like they will. I'm guessing they'll probably win that game. But I mean, there's not much time left in the season. And I think all Michigan State fans, everyone under every college basketball fans realize, like, the 8 and 9 line, being an 8 and 9, being an 8 or 9 seed and being a 7 is a massive difference, especially this year, because I think there's a pretty big gap between the 1 and 2s this year and even the 2s and 3s. Essentially, just because of how good Purdue and UConn are, I just don't want State to have to play them in the second round. I'd much rather them get a 7 seed or a 6. And I saw a lot of guys yesterday. I read Lenardi's bracketology. He had the Spartans as a 7 seed. Obviously, that's before a home loss. And Iowa's not a terrible loss. I think they could play their way into the tournament, but they don't really have much room for error if they want to stay off that 8-9 line and make sure they're in as a 6 or 7 seed. They're gonna have to make some ground. I mean, they've got chances with Northwestern and Purdue in the Big Ten tournament coming up, but outside of that, really no room for error if you want to stay off that 8-9 line.
Yeah, and you said I was going to bring that up, kind of the seed line. And I think before yesterday, looking at kind of a bracketology index, right, where it kind of factors in everyone's, and they were pretty firmly on the 7 line, even some in the 6. And I think that kind of momentum that we had for obviously for this team, but also just in terms of seeding, it's gone. They lost it. And then, you just look forward. I think it was just a huge missed opportunity because you're right, it's not a bad loss. Still, at the moment, it's still a quad two loss, which is fine, but it's just another opportunity to stack wins, and you just miss an opportunity like that at home. It's just, it's going to hurt. And if they end up on that 8-9 line, like you said, you don't want to be seeing UConn, I'll tell you that. And I really thought the way they were playing that 6 line was definitely very attainable and would have been a good spot for them, but I think that's probably close to gone unless they go on some kind of stretch and beat Purdue or make the finals of the Big Ten tournament. But and again, you said earlier, I think they will show up in March. They will. That this team's talented. They do have the heart. But I think my takeaway is just they probably will let us down again, and it's just not shocking at this point. So I think kind of that feeling that we have right now, it won't be that bad because we know it'll be coming in a way.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And also, kind of back to the whole March Madness stuff, the last thing that I have is the Midwest region, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are in Detroit. So if Michigan State can get that Midwest and, make a little bit of a run, get to that second weekend like they did last year, then it's almost like a home court advantage in a way. I mean, I can't imagine there'd be anyone closer to Detroit than East Lansing, being 1 hour and 20 minutes from Detroit. So, I mean, that would feel like a big advantage if they were able to get that. But obviously, that's more of like a luck factor and just where they end up in the tournament. I'm much more concerned about not being an 8 or 9 seed, but just something to keep in the back of the mind. I'm all out of stuff. I don't know if you've got anything else, anything, Johnny.
I mean, I could go on and on,
Yeah.
but I mean, all I'll say is again, I think the effort level's got to change, and I think it will. Maybe a little bit of execution, right? We saw at the end of that first half and just like Aiken stepping out of bounds. That's just an execution thing. Like, that's just like he literally was standing out of bounds when he caught it. Like, and it's just not like him, but like it just comes down to sometimes execution, and then, hopefully Tom to get these guys turned around. And we kept talking about Booker. I just love to see him get a chance because at this point, like we said, with the no production from the center, what do you got to lose? So that's just kind of where I guess I'll leave it off.
Yeah, and there's no point in developing a guy so much if and not play him if you just when there's the transfer portal. So, it's not like it's a guarantee that he'll be back next year. So, I don't know, why not give him a shot? I think that's all we got though. Saturday, Michigan State hosts Ohio State, as we said. And then after that, what's after that? Is it North? Is it
think it's Purdue. I
Purdue.
think they're off middle
Yep.
of the week. So
Yeah.
yeah.
All right. So we'll do an Ohio State recap episode on Saturday or Sunday and do a little bit of a Purdue preview and we'll get that out. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Go follow us on Twitter. Go follow Fearless68. Have a good one.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.